Chapter 66. Back safe in Iron Fist's room, Kip studied the card box. It hadn't been moved, of course, and Iron Fist still wasn't back. The box, the only thing that was left of Janus Borig's life's work, was made of olive wood and lacquered ivory inlaid with electrum. Kip rubbed his hands on his shirt to get as much of the oils off them as possible, then cracked open the box. The cards slid into his hand. Originals. He could see the tiny brush strokes on them. The paint had a thickness to it, rising from the surface of the cards where details had been meticulously applied. But they weren't just originals. The names on the cards were names, both people and game mechanic cards, that Kip knew had never been in the game before. Talon Gim, D.D. Falling Leaf, Isom Red, Rhea Palor, The Prisoner, New Green White, Polychrome White, Olaf Kunnar, Jing, Black Powder Charge, Luxin Grenados, Sea Demon Slayer, Flintlock, Shimmer Cloak, Heresy, Three-Eyed Ben, Usam the Wild, Ganesh the Bear. Kip stopped. Shimmer Cloak? Orholm's balls. The painting depicted a sneering man with heavy brows. It was Vox. His grey cloak was visible at the neck where the chains bit into his throat, and then his body disappeared below that. The text read, If Light Splitter grants invisibility except against Sub-Red and Super-Violet. If Light Splitter? Kip stared at the two cloaks drying by the fire. The cards were real. They were of real things, and they told the truth. They were new cards, and they were of people who had been alive recently. Kip knew some of those names had been drafters whom he'd seen at Garriston. And if the cards were of those who had recently been alive, it was possible that there were cards of those who were still alive. Kip began flipping through the cards faster, not trying to grab all the details, not trying to savor the art. He was hunting. The Fixer, The Shadow, Tala, Flame Hands, Ahayad Brightwater, Samuel Saye, Halo Breaker, The Fallen Prophet, The Black Seer, Mirror Man, Mirror Armor, The Technologist, The Novice, The Color Prince. This wasn't a deck. There weren't multiple copies of the cards, such as one would use when playing so as to maximize your chances of that card coming up. This was an entire new set. Kip was looking for his father's card. Where was it? What would it tell him? Zymon the Dancer. Cause Angier. Enervate. Incarnadine. Black Luxin. Hellstone Dagger. Multicolored Spectacles. The Angari Serpent. Andros the Red. Kip felt ice in his veins. It was a young Andros Guile, handsome, strong, a warrior, a white dagger in his hand, tattered cloak billowing around him, three young boys behind him, one to his right, the other to his left, one barely visible in the distance. Orholm, he looks like a hero. Putting the card aside, Kip kept going. The Color Prince's rifle. Rifle? Kip didn't even know what the word meant. Not that that was terribly uncommon. Incarnadine? If he had time, he could probably figure some of them out from the pictures, but time felt compressed, like someone was going to come along any moment and take the cards from him and they'd be lost forever. Skimmer, Condor, Incendiary Musket, Gan Guver, Elaine Troas, Viv Greyskin, Ras the Caster, Iron Elm, Pleiad Poros, the Butcher of Agbalu, Flash Bomb. Again Kip stopped, went back. The Butcher of Agbalu. The man was spattered with gore, a fiery scimitar in one hand, stylized blue fire around the other. No armor, just a torn, blooded tunic revealing massive ebony arms and shoulders. The bodies of the dead lay all around him in a palace. The man was young, wearing no gotra, his kinky hair worn in a braided style Kip had never seen before, but it was undeniably Commander Iron Fist. Kip had thought Janus Borig was working on his card, a one-eyed man, and it hadn't looked like this, but this was Commander Iron Fist. Younger, but definitely him. Kip's heart seized. The Butcher? Kip looked at the weapons rack on the wall. The scimitar from the card was there, at the top. Spine blackened, blade shining, garnets and scrimshaw, turquoise and abalone. Part of him wanted to draft and jump into that memory instantly, but he didn't. He needed to go through all the cards before someone interrupted him. Surely someone was looking for him. Surely he couldn't be allowed to know everything. It was somehow too easy. He tucked that card away with the others he wanted to examine later and shuffled through the rest quickly. The Butcher of Rue was the next card, the art paired with Iron Fist's card. Kip's stomach turned. He knew about General Gad Delmata's massacre. On that card, the grinning man on the front was swinging a man's head by its braided Atashian beard in one hand and a woman's head by her long black hair in the other. Kip thought about what would happen to his mind if he jumped into that card. If he became General Delmata, what would he see? What if getting into that mind wasn't terribly difficult? This was living history. He could learn things from these cards that no one else knew, that no one else had any way of knowing. And even if Kip wasn't a real polychrome and couldn't draft his extra colors consistently, he could see them, which meant he could know the whole story of every one of them, as only a few other people in the world possibly could. Whoever controlled these cards would control the truth. This wasn't just a treasure with a titanic monetary value. It was insight. It was a stripping bare of lies. Anyone in power would want it for what it could tell them about their enemies. Anyone with a secret would want to destroy it lest their enemies find it. Anyone with a secret. Like being the Butcher of Agbalu. A black cloud demon of smoky despair ripped Kip's mouth open and crawled into his throat. Commander Iron Fist had been the one man Kip thought he could trust. And now Kip was in his room, with treasures, vulnerable.
"It's not me,"
a deep voice said behind Kip. Kip jumped, so startled he flung priceless cards both left and right.
"My apologies," Iron Fist said. "Thought you might have fallen asleep waiting for me. Didn't want to wake you."
He knelt to help Kip pick up the scattered cards. He scowled at the very first one he picked up, looked over at Kip.
"These are real?"
"Yes, sir." Kip finally got up and started helping the commander gather up the cards. They stood and Commander Iron Fist handed Kip a stack of the cards. He kept one in his hand.
"I've never seen originals before. Does it work, like they say?"
"Yes, sir. If you draft while you touch it, you experience what they did. The more colors you can draft, the more you see." Iron Fist looked at the card in his hand.
"This card. This is my brother. You know him?"
Kip nodded. "Tremble Fist."
"When my mother was assassinated. It's complicated. She'd been keeping me away from the Chromeria, and with her death the reasons for keeping me away died too. Our father was gone, and we had a day to rule. Both my brother and I were gifted. My sister was too young, so one of us had to stay home to rule. My brother was younger, but I was more gifted, and we had good advisors who would actually do most of the ruling for him. We thought that if I could become a full drafter, in the future I would have more pull with the Chromeria. After I came home, my brother would then take his turn at the Chromeria. So my brother stayed home. To stabilize his rule, we decided he should marry. The Tiro had the best claim, and we should have appeased them. Our advisors told us as much, but we were young men, and though the Tiro's candidate was not ugly, she was not a beauty to make the heart race either. We were young fools, and I cared what my brother thought. We chose the Tlaglanu princess Tezawalt because she was prettier than any of the other candidates by far. Her tribe was hated, and though she fell madly in love with Hanishu, pardon, that was my brother's name before, even though she loved him and respected him, she was haughty before everyone else, despised them. It made them hate her more and made them hate him too. The competing Tiru had crippled her father during a raid when he was still young, and she was no peacemaker. She took every opportunity to snub and shame them."
He sighed, but continued.
"I had just finished my training when the False Prism's war began. There was no question that we would support Gavin. Dazen made some abortive overtures to Paria, but we were too deeply indebted to Andros Gael and his father, Drakos Gael, to take those overtures seriously. You wouldn't know it from Gavin's colouring, but no small amount of Parian blood flows in the Gael veins. Anyway, we sent our entire army, and still Andros demanded more. Most of the palace guards went. They ended up barely making it in time, but that's another story. Seeing this weakness, the Tiru tribesmen came from the mountains and infiltrated the capital city of our day, Agbalu, as civilians, and then one day, when my brother went out hunting with 50 of the few remaining soldiers with him, the Tiru attacked. Hanushu and his 50 were alerted by some refugees, and they came back to the city as fast as they could. The Tiru had already set up camp in the palace, feasting around the still unburied bodies of those they'd massacred. My brother and his soldiers arrived in the middle of the night. The Tiru were scattered, sleeping or drunk, and my brother fell on them like a lion. He was 18 years old, and he already had 2 daughters and a son. He found his wife's and children's bodies. The Tiru had done unspeakable things to them. My brother went mad. A warrior in his prime, and a wild drafter. The Tiru panicked, attacked each other, and my brother slaughtered all those he found. They said that he fought like a god, like Anat had possessed him. He killed through the dawn. The people of Agbalu rallied around him then, and they rounded up the Tiru tribesmen, the old men and the young, the traders and camp followers and the wives and the shepherds, and he swallowed. And Hanishu slaughtered them all, personally. The Tiru numbered 2,000 families, and the Tiru are no more.
He handed Kip the card.
Beware of what memories you choose to watch, Kip. You may carry what you find forever.
Kip knew he should keep his mouth shut, but he couldn't help it.
What if the truth in that card is different than what you were told?
The big commander turned mournful eyes on Kip.
I don't think it would matter. I lost most of the people I cared about, and I lost my brother. Hanishu is no more. He was broken by what he did. Still a peerless warrior, but he doesn't trust himself anymore. He can't lead. He's not even a watch captain. Can't bear the weight of responsibility. Every time I go back into a fight with him, I lose him for weeks afterward.
He ran a hand over his shaven, bare head.
I'm afraid I've eaten too much truth recently. Well, this is what you came to speak to me about?
Will you swear not to tell anyone else? Kip asked.
You can't ask me that, Kip. I need to do what I think is right.
I'm asking, Kip said. If you won't promise, I can't tell you everything.
Commander Ironfist heaved a deep breath.
You're as bad as any guile, you know that?
Yes, sir. Sorry, sir.
Commander Ironfist stared at the floor for a while.
I don't know why you drag us in your wake. Even a child of the guiles is pulling me along like a leaf in a gale.
He shook his head, and there was bitterness in his sad eyes.
Very well. You have my word.
Janus Borig made the cards. I was down at her house.
Janus Borig? She's a myth, Kip. The old witch of Wind Palace?
I don't know what you're talking about, Kip said. She's just an old lady with a little shop.
A shop?
On Big Jasper.
Kip looked at him, confused.
You found a true mirror, hiding in plain sight. You've been in this city 2 months. How'd you find her?
The librarian told me.
Which librarian?
Rhea. Rhea Saluz.
I'll check into that. But never mind that for now. Tell me.
I went to Janus Borig's house tonight. She was murdered by a man and a woman wearing those cloaks, shimmer cloaks, made them mostly invisible except in the sub-red and super-violet.
For a moment, Ironfist's face twisted like Kip was a little boy telling the most outlandish lies. Then he looked at the cloaks.
Show me one of those cards.
Which one do you...
Doesn't matter.
Kip pulled out a card at random, and Ironfist drafted a sliver of blue and touched the card for an instant, then snatched back his finger.
Another,
he said. Kip extended one, fanning out the cards, but Ironfist chose another. He drafted, touched it, and pulled his finger back as if burned.
My apologies. I had to know for myself. They're real. They're all real. Tell me everything, Kip.
So Kip did. It was like an enormous burden being lifted from his shoulders. Abruptly, he felt like he was a child again. Except it felt good. There were things in the world too big for him to deal with by himself, and trusting Ironfist felt really good.
So what's it all mean? He asked.
I thought war was coming. But I was wrong,
Commander Ironfist said.
War is already here. And you're in tremendous danger, and so am I.
It seemed like as much of a global summary statement as Kip had ever heard, and he felt totally inappropriate when he said,
there's one more thing.
Found some other artifact of world-altering power to go with two shimmer cloaks and an entire set of original new Nine Kings cards?
Commander Iron Fist asked archly. Kip's mouth worked.
It was a joke, Kip.
Kip pulled out the dagger slowly and laid it across his palms. It was longer. He was sure of it now. The white seemed whiter. The black whorls seemed blacker. There was also another difference. Of the seven diamonds embedded in the blade, one burned bright blue, as it had since Kip had recovered it from Simon. But now a second was lit from within too. It was a dull green. Swallowing, Kip looked up at Commander Iron Fist.